You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Yo! Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show. Forum for the fans. I'm your co-host Steve, also my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris. And of course, can't forget about Knickerbocker Avenue, the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, the source for the streets for the New York Knicks, Bleed Blue Show analyst. The calling number is always 929-477-4171 to the Bleed Blue Show. You can press the number one button on your touchtone phone if you want to be live on the air for any questions or comments. You can also stream the show live on BleedBlueShow.com, Facebook, the fan page, The Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, all that good stuff, at Bleed Blue Show. Of course, we wait all week for the Knicks. Today on the broadcast, we discuss the New York Knicks, the free agents, the signings of these guys, and then, of course, the upcoming Summer League right around the corner, and get the fans' perspective. This is what we do. This is the Bleed Blue Show. We give the fans the forum to discuss however they want to discuss our teams. And, of course, in about an hour is also the critically acclaimed Knicks Trivia, also dubbed as the 2.0. We'll be doing that, of course. But real quick, before we get into the Knicks and bring on Av real quick, other shows, the Rangers, the Blues Day Recap, the Ring, be on the lookout for that on the archives. Also, our New York Yankees talk, if you're a New York Yankees fan. We've been doing a lot of shows every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, but tomorrow's a special. We'll be on at 8 p.m., replay for that on Saturday morning. And of course, New York Football Giants, Now, if you're a Giants fan, the stakeholders on that show was dropping blue flames. Okay, we were the first outlet for the New York Football Giants as a fan base, whether you're a traditional media or podcast, however you want to look at it, to really discuss the Jason Pierre-Paul situation. And pretty much we knocked it out the park, because all the articles you're reading about this week, we basically said on that show. You could go back to the archives, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn app. But every Sunday, 6 p.m., the New York Football Giants. But other than that, Knickerbocker Ave, what's going on? How you doing?
Dude, I've been waiting all week for this, but I'm glad I'm glad you mentioned JPP for a second. Crazy news about him just that came out a couple hours ago. He got his right index finger amputated because of the whole fireworks incident over the 4th of July. What a dumbass.
We kind of went into that real heavy this past Sunday. It's all in the archives. I mean, you could go back verbatim. It's on record. I mean, I learned this at 5 years old, Knickerbocker. You play with fireworks, you're going to lose a finger. I mean, this is not news. I mean, it's like people are like shocked. Like, this is nothing new. That's what happens when you play with fireworks.
JPP just made every mom's argument valid, because ever since we were little kids, my mom's been telling me, don't play with fireworks. Don't you hold them fireworks, you're going to get yourself burned. Don't you play with them fireworks if you don't know what you're doing. And sure enough, here comes Jason Pierre-Paul, critically acclaimed football player for the New York Giants, actually does it, and now little kids can't argue with their mothers, because now look what happened to him. He just lost his $90 million contract.
And I can't wait for Sunday to discuss this even more on the roundtable, the overtime edition, the New York Football Giants, Sunday, 6 p.m. I know they got a lot of guys going to air that out for what it was. It was pure dysfunction by Jason Pierre-Paul. And hopefully he recovers and gets better health-wise. That's first and foremost. But as a teammate, as a player for the New York Football Giants, it was stupid. But anyway, that's a talk for Sunday. But Knickerbocker, we got to get the fans' reaction on the Knicks. With Greg Monroe going to Milwaukee, of course, Robin Lopez, Aaron Afalo, Kyle O'Quinn in the signing trade. I mean, there's a lot to discuss. And David West kind of pulling the pump fake on the Knicks and going to San Antonio. Jason Smith going to the Orlando Magic. And the Knicks don't even know if they can get Chevet back. But we'll get to that, though, Knickerbocker Ave, and your thoughts on all those guys I mentioned. Real top summer before we bring on the guys.
Yeah. Those guys You hit it on the head. I mean, I have a lot to talk about in regards to that, in regards to free agency. I know a lot of Knicks fans out there are pretty, you know, happy or content, or, you know, whatever the case may be. They're having these positive vibes because we did end up signing Aaron Aflalo, Robin Lopez, Kyle O'Quinn, Derek Williams, and there's no talk. Of course, there isn't any talking about Alexi Shved or any of the other guys. Jason Smith went to Orlando. Shane Larkin went to Brooklyn. Quincy Acey is out there right now. I know this is going to make Marlo very happy, but it has been reported the Knicks are no longer interested in bringing back Andrea Bargnani. So I know the second he comes on,
they better not,
he's going to be jumping for joy. But I have a lot of thoughts on the free agency as a whole. I don't know if you want to bring in callers first, or you want me to just go off with it, because. Not a lot of people are going to like
Let's
it.
Let's bring in the callers. They've been some have been waiting on hold for a long time. Let's bring on the 347. 347, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Chandler. What's up, man?
Chandler, what's up, man? How you doing? The veteran of the fan base. What's up, man?
Not much, man. I just tweeted you something on Twitter, man, about you when you where you say Knickerbocker Avenue. but the Greg Monroe thing, man, I didn't have a problem with, because I really wasn't sold on him coming here. I didn't think he was a big fit for him or the team. And, of course, now, you know, the NBA's holding Milwaukee hostage, but that's a whole different conversation. So, I still in the field, guys, but I like what they did. I like Robin Lopez. The kid, Kyle O'Quinn, I think is going to be the steal of this offseason. If he
Queens
gets an
native.
Opportunity to actually play. I think that's the best guy they signed, honestly, out of everybody they signed. I think the kid, Kyle O'Quinn, is going to turn out to be the best signing that they've had probably since, and I hate to saddle him with this, but I'd say since Anthony Mason. I'd say that's the best signing since Anthony Mason, of a guy that nobody really knew about. You know what I'm saying? I like what they did. The Porzingis thing, it is what it is. He's on the team, so I'm a root for him. I like Bargnani. I'll be honest with you. I think Bargnani was always played out of position. He's not a stretch four because he's not a three-point shooter. He has always played better when we put him at center. But for some reason, since he's European, everybody assumes he's a three-point shooter. So they want him to stand out the three-point line, and that's not his game. I mean, if you look at the games he played the Knicks and he had good games, it was at center. You know, so it is what it is. But overall, it was a decent offseason. I like the signings, and you know, like I said, for me, Kyle O'Quinn was the big one. I think that's the best signing they made.
All right.
Think about that.
I agree with him. Kyle O'Quinn, Queens native, Queens born. He's coming back home. He's going to play for the Knicks. He does have a game similar to like a Charles Oakley or Anthony Mason. Very big body. So the Knicks really took care of the necessity that they needed to address in the draft. We wanted him to go big. They went big. They got Robin Lopez, Kyle O'Quinn, Derek Williams. You got three guys over 6 foot nine who can, you know, who can clog up some real estate down low. And they all can rebound. They all can, you know, defend for the most part. I'm pretty sure Derek Williams needs to work on a little bit more than O'Quinn. O'Quinn just needs more minutes, which he didn't really get much in Orlando. And it's a great pickup on that end. But in terms of free agency as a whole, I think I'm going to hold off on my final prediction on that one. We'll just bring on the next caller.
All right. I'll bring on the next caller. I'll be like 10 seconds with it. And I see the similarities why he said about Anthony Mason, the comparisons, both from Queens. They both went to HBCUs. I think Mason went to Tennessee State and O'Quinn went to Norfolk State. Mason was definitely the better ball handler. There's no question about that. But as far as toughness, this is what the Knicks kind of need. They need to go in some sort of direction with that. So definitely agree with the comparisons. Let's bring on the next call. Let's bring on the Sim. Sim, what's going on? How you doing?
What's going on, Av, Steve, Chandler?
Butter, what's going on, man?
Salute.
Not much. Hey, I gotta agree with everything Chandler said. I mean, O'Quinn, you know what I'm saying? Springfield Gardens, you know, product, bro. What more can you say? You know what I mean? Kid just can ball. He's tough as nails. And, you know, like my partner in crime asked it, and just didn't have the time. They were playing behind Switch and, you know, some of the higher first-round picks that they had in front court. You know, his time was limited, man. You know, now, you know, he definitely has a chance to get that you know, that big man role coming off the bench where he should be getting a solid 20 to 23 minutes, you know, a night. And, you know, he can make a difference, man. You know what I mean? Like the signing of Lopez, like the signing of Aflalo. And I know a lot of people in the media take the grief for free agency, saying they missed out on this guy, they missed out on that guy. But at the end of the day, you got to build a foundation for the season. If you don't have a role player to play specific roles, then, you know, star players won't want to. You know what I mean? And honestly, the team had their best success 2 years ago when they had a lot of high-end role players around Carmelo. Now, it wasn't enough, but I think a lot of that we will agree to was bad coaching by Woodson. But that's another conversation for us today. But, you know, I like what they've done as far as the draft. I honestly believe that Grant will be the steal of the draft. I don't think he won't get a chance to get rookie of the year just because he won't put up the numbers. But as far as impact for the future, I think he's probably going to be the steal of the first round. And I like the way that, you know, Phil is building the team up, you know, building it from the inside out, big man. And, you know, he's not doing what a lot of the GMs and the predecessors before him did, which was just pick up a stat sheet, see who averages the most amount of points, and throw a truckload of money at him. You know, whether it's they have someone at that position already, it didn't matter. You know, how they were going to fit on the team, it didn't matter. Just they scored this amount. You know, they look good, so we're going to throw money at them. He's building it with tough, blue-collar, hard-nosed players, which honestly, this is what the 96 was built on. One superstar and a bunch of hard, gritty, blue-collar players, you know, around them. So that's the blueprint. And, you know, I think if they can improve and win, say, between 35 and maybe like 42 games, I think that would be enough to start inciting some of the bigger than free agents to come there. Because I think all they need is one. All they need is one free agent to want to come here. And I think that it kind of opened the floodgates, you know, for other people.
And let's bring on Marlo real quick, get his thoughts. Marlo, what's going on? How you doing?
Marlo.
There you go. Marlo, what's up?
All right. The free agency was actually pretty good. I'm not too mad at that because, you know, this is much different than what the Knicks usually do. And this is, you know, every Knicks fan should be happy instead of angry like they have been since things have been going down. Well, let's say the uneducated Knicks fans, because,
well,
you know,
I'm
the
not
Knicks,
angry.
As we, oh, okay. Well, the Knicks of the old, what they would do is they would throw like a bunch of money to somebody, regardless of how he plays or his position, just because he's a name. Like in the instance of Greg Monroe. I mean, Greg Monroe is a good offensive player, but you're playing him the five would be horrible because he's not good at defense. So you have, if you have Melo, KP, and Monroe, that's just horrible. So Phil was smart enough, even though he still had the meeting with him. I think you already knew that he wasn't going to really try to go too far. And then you got a defensive guy like Robin Lopez, and, you know, his defense is and he does have some offense in him. I mean, he's not, you know, prolific offensive player, but he's not Tyson Chandler either, because Tyson Chandler just was lobs. You know, he didn't have much of an offense at all. You know, he's a good passer, too, and, you know, he's just good at a lot of things. But this is what the Knicks finally did. You know, they finally got defensive two-way players, and this is what everyone's been saying. And they didn't do, like, these giant contracts. They didn't do anything that's good. So, you know, some of these guys don't work out, they could send it. You know, they could just do it someplace else. They got some young guys, and you know, Kyle O'Quinn, you know, like he was just saying before, they were showing that to his parents. His mother says, when you're coming home, you're coming home to work. You're not coming home to hang out and party and this, that, and the other, a la J.R. Smith, who had no concept of that. So, you know, he already has, like, that good mentality about he's coming here to work and not to play. And he, you know, and he's that guy who says he doesn't like losing. And I think the Knicks lose that, you know, because Melo, you know, as much as I love him, he's very laid back, but they needed that guy. It's like, nah, let's not go out like that. And that's what he brings too, and I like that. You know, they got athletic with Williams, and Aaron Afal always liked Ray, has a relationship with Melo. He'll probably be their second scorer, and KP will be their third scorer. But, you know, the moves are pretty decent. And someone tweeted this, which I thought was very interesting. In 2010, the Knicks, you know, got Amari Stoudemire for $100 million. This free agency, they got four players for $96 million. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, smart decisions, role players, gritty guys, surround them by Melo, and then, you know, we'll see how things go.
And Knickerbocker, Ave, anything you want to add as far as salary cap stuff? I know there are some things that came down the pipe you wanted to bring up. And anything you want to add with these free agents, and then I'll get my thoughts, and we'll go back around with Chandler and Sim and Marlo.
Well, the breaking news, this is reported as of like maybe 20 minutes ago. The NBA announced that the NBA salary cap is not going to be $67.1 million as originally stated. It's actually jumping up to $70 million. So now the $2.6 million that the Knicks thought they had, now they have about $5 million left to play with. So there is a chance that they could sign somebody else, probably sign Alexei Shved or go after another free agent that they're probably considering. I'm not too sure who's left out there, but now they have an extra $5 million to, you know, to fill out the roster. But in terms of the free agency, I'm not 100% happy, and I'm not 100% angry. I'm more worried than anything, because I looked at this free agency and I saw something that really troubled me. You had coming into this free agency, you had David West, Greg Monroe, and a couple other guys who were saying that they wanted to come to New York. In this free agency, you ended up finding out David West never said that. He didn't, and he ended up going to San Antonio. So he left about $11 million on the table and went to San Antonio. You have Greg Monroe, who was offered the max. This is, I know people have been, you know, conflicting on this one. Offered the max, and instead opted to take a three-year, $50 million deal to go to a team, a lower market team, just because they were supposedly much better positioned to contend than Milwaukee Bucks. Then you got LaMarcus Aldridge, who was the most highly was among the highly sought after free agents, cancel a meeting with Phil Jackson. Now I know there was a story saying that Phil Jackson was the one who canceled it. I don't believe it for a second. I believe that LaMarcus Aldridge canceled it because he didn't want to play center. And then you had DeAndre Jordan, who right now is playing flip flop between Dallas and Los Angeles. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean, but all three things are telling me something. The Knicks' main concern was they didn't want to go after the big names. They wanted to go after second-tier, third-tier kind of players. Well, LaMarcus Aldridge is not no superstar. He's not on like LeBron or Kevin Durant or Melo's level. He's a second-tier guy.
Yeah.
And he said no. Greg Monroe is like a third-tier guy, and he said no. DeAndre Jordan is nowhere near on their level, and he said no. We at least had to have gotten one of those guys or in some way, shape, or form, just for the very fact is that come 2016, because this team just came off the worst record in NBA, in their franchise history, they have to come out and win in order for them to attract any free agents, for them to even come close to entertaining a Kevin Durant coming here or a John Wall or whoever the hell. They need to come out and win. They need to show that they can make up at this level, and this is what worries me. When free agents are telling you no, telling the great Phil Jackson no, and then you saw what all the guys that he did end up signing, I start to wonder, is like, did we really need to pay him $12 million to sign these guys? Really? Couldn't Isaiah Thomas, Donnie Walsh, Glenn Grunwald, Scott Layden, couldn't any of these guys sign a Robin Lopez or Aaron Aflalo? Probably not. Probably because they're not – that's not the method they're thinking, because they're thinking like James Dolan, just throw up the money as much as you can. But the fact of the matter is I'm looking at these signings. Although they were good, and I know they're going to be solid picks, but it makes me worry coming, you know, for free agencies to come because now you're looking at a team of Carmelo Anthony and a bunch of okay guys. They're not going to – and we still don't have a number two option. Well, that's just my thought.
That's a great analysis, Knickerbocker. I like what you said. Let me say my part. my thoughts. And I'm kind of siding with Chandler on this. I'm actually siding with all you guys. Do you really want to overpay Greg Monroe? Like you said, Nick Bogart, he's more like a tier somewhere between 2 and 3. Greg Monroe is a nice player, but I'm not really ready to give him the type of money Milwaukee gave him. So if he's going to go to Milwaukee for that kind of money, by all means, go, bruh. Enjoy the Bratwurst. Mm-hmm. You know, you're good. Bye. Peace. LaMarcus Aldridge, to me, he's same thing like you said, Nick Bogart. He's to me, he's. When I think of max players, it's LeBron, Carmelo's. I might even put, you know, Durant. Those are superstars. Those are max. There's not really that many. And a lot of these guys are getting crazy money. And I'm not and that's fine because sometimes you got to, like, hey, you may have to build a team with getting a third-tier guys or whatever.
Definitely.
But I'm not mad at the moves. It's not like it was a lot out there. I think for what it was, the moves make sense. I think that's how I feel about the moves itself. I mean, let's talk about Robin Lopez, his offense and his defense. Let's talk about Aaron Afalo, his offense and his defense. Let's talk about Derek Williams, who I thought when he was coming out of college in, 2011 with the Wildcats, Arizona, I thought he was going to be the next thing in the NBA. I don't know what happened when he went to Minnesota and then ended up in Sacramento, but then again, it's Minnesota and Sacramento. Maybe he comes to New York and he gets a rejuvenation, you know? There's talks about the Knicks may not even be able to get Alexi Shevin back. I don't, there's a lot to discuss, but I feel your sentiment, Nick Bogart. You've made some valid points, and I'm okay with not overpaying a lot of these so-called max players. Let's go back around. Chandler, what's your thoughts as far as the follow, Derek Williams, Robin Lopez, offense and defensive-wise, Kyle O'Quinn, everything, the whole nine?
Well, I need to get this off my chest before the season starts.
Go ahead.
I hate Aaron Aflalo. Let me be clear on this, okay? I didn't want Aaron Aflalo. He's a bum, okay? We're giving him $16 million for 6.44 for 11 points a game. We could have got 11 points a game from Ricky Lito and somebody else in the freaking D League. Okay? Aaron Aflalo is being talked about like he's a different thing. Aaron Aflalo ain't been on a damn team that's won a damn thing and ain't went nowhere as the final piece to anybody's puzzle, unlike, say, a Trevor Ariza. Okay? So all the love for Aaron Aflalo, I'm not seeing it. I haven't seen it his entire time in the league. He's a Knick. I'm a root for him. I didn't want him. I think he's a waste. Okay? He's not a number two option. He's a number four option. He's a glorified bench player. Okay? And now everybody runs to him, oh, he's the number two option. Get the hell out of here. I had to get that off my chest.
That's why we're here.
I agree with him.
Derek Williams, I never believed in. He's another guy that if he gives us anything, fine, but it wasn't really big money to bring him in. So you can always get rid of him. He's inconsistent with his effort. He's a lazy guy. When he came out of college, I didn't think he was going to be good because he's lazy. He's lazy. He doesn't give you a consistent effort. He has all the physical talent in the world. He's lazy as hell. You know, the last Arizona forward that came into the league and did anything was Sean Elliott. If you look at the history of Arizona players, guys that play his position that have come into the league, name me one besides Sean Elliott that's done anything. All of them come into the league, and they all do the same thing. They waste their talent. Iguodala. Thank you. So we got two, Sean Elliott and Iguodala. But you got a bunch that will come out every, oh, this guy's going to be good, and they're not. Lopez, I like his game. As long as nobody don't expect 20 and 10 from Robin Lopez, you won't be disappointed. He's not 20 and 10. He's not 20 and 10. And we have a problem as Knicks fans because we're paying somebody a certain amount of money. Now we want them to morph into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar if it's a big man. If it's a shooting guard, we want them to be Magic. You know, if it's a point guard, we want Magic Johnson. Or that's not who they are. Robin Lopez is Robin Lopez. He is a great pick-and-roll guy. He's a great pick-and-roll defender. He's a good rim protector. He's a guy who will get you some points on some nights. And some nights, he can get you 5 points. That's who he is. Live with it. Live with it. That's who we signed. You know, it's not like we went out and gave $100 million to a broke-down Amari Stoudemire or a broke-back forward. You know, there's a list of names I can rattle off with guys we gave money to that shouldn't have been there, Stevie Francis, so on and so forth. But that's why I said I like the Lopez signing, the O'Quinn signing are what made the offseason for me. Now, if he had come in here with, say, Greg Monroe, Derek Williams, and Aaron Aflalo, you would hear me saying something totally different right now. But the Robin Lopez and the Kyle O'Quinn signings more than make up for that, because I think Ricky Nino is going to make this team, and I think the Nassis is going to make this team. And don't forget, we still got Clint Anthony early, whose game is going to progress. We just have to give these guys time, which we don't like to do. Okay? Oh, and by the way, we're going to be real sorry we traded Tim Hardaway. I'm saying it right now. Okay? I'm saying it right now. We're going to be sorry we traded Tim Hardaway, because it's going to be another guy that we're going to see in 2 years. Everybody's going to say, why don't we bring him back? But I think Ricky Nito and the Nationals will make Aaron Aflalo expendable, and I think they'll make Derek Williams expendable, which is why I like the O'Quinn and the Lopez signing.
Before we go to the sim, let me ask you real quick, Chandler. Do you think the Hardaway trade is not worth it getting Jerian Grant? You think Jerian Grant was worth getting in the absence of Hardaway Jr.?
I think that Jerian Grant is going to go through the same growing pains Tim Hardaway Jr. did. So I think we essentially traded a guy that was about to blossom for a guy that we're now going to have to live with his growing pains. You understand what I'm saying?
I see what he's saying. I feel you on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Sim. Sim, real quick. Your thoughts on the free agents that we got, and also if you're on the phone, just mute your phones real quick so we can limit the background noise. Go ahead, Sim.
Hold on 1 second, fellas.
Okay.
Let's go. All
right.
Yeah, my fault, man. Had an ambulance rolling by real quick, but I'm not as harsh as Chandler with the Aflalo signing. I mean, honestly, what could they do? Once Toronto gave Carroll $15 million, you knew that was off the board. And once Danny Green got a make-good deal with the Spurs, you knew he was off the board. So, I mean, is he a notch below those two? He definitely is. But at the same time, you can't blame them for signing the dude if they never had a shot at the other two. You know what I mean? I know we all can agree as Knicks fans, Damari Carroll is a good player, but he ain't worth $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I
no.
mean? I would have signed, you know, Danny Green, you know, to possibly what he got. But you seen that guy got a chance to win championships with the Spurs, and he's comfortable with that situation, and they paid him, you know what I'm saying, fair market value, man. You know, Monte Ellis got an $11 million deal too, so he's got something comparable. I can't knock them for that. I mean, when you look at guys who can score as far as three-point shooting and defense, you know, those are probably like the top three guys on the market. The top two are off the board. You know, who could you really get to supplant them? I mean, Ricky Lito can play some ball. He can score, but his defense is terrible. Just like Hardaway's defense was god-awful. I mean, I know Grant will have his rookie, you know, ups and downs, but the one thing that you can't coach is effort and defense, and he got both of those in spades, man. So I'd rather take defense and effort to go along with the learning point, the learning pains, than to have you just coming down the court, chucking up three-pointers with 22 seconds left on the shot clock and not even getting into the offense. Lopez is what Lopez is, block shots, rebounding, good pick-and-roll player, good pick-and-roll defender. You know, Derek Williams, like everybody said, the kid got all the talent in the world. It's just a matter of can he get into the right system where they can make him a consistent player. You know, as we all know, Sacramento and Minnesota ain't breeding ground for great players and consistent players with the constant upheaval in a head coach and you know, and in the front office. O'Quinn, like everybody said, I think O'Quinn is the steal of free agency for us. And, you know, with my partner in crime, Av, just hitting us with the news that the Knicks got another $5 million that they could play with, you know, maybe they can bring, you know, a guy like Shred back, because I know his cap hold would have been, I think it was $4.4 or $4.6 million. So you could bring him back, and you still would have the $2.8, you know, the floor level exception to take somebody and then minimum contracts after that. But, you know, Av, you my man, but I, you know, okay, some guys went to other teams, but let's be honest, man. The Knicks won 17 freaking games. What top tier free agents or second or third free agents that had options was lining up to beat the door down to come to try to turn it around? Nobody. You see, everybody is looking for that ready-made situation or that situation that's right on the cusp in order to get there. That's why I was happy with the free agency, because I said, you know what? You got good sound role players, guys that are going to play both ways. And if you improve, you know what I'm saying, like I said, to about 38 to 42 wins, shit, that's the fifth or sixth seed in the East. And then when you go into the next offseason and you, the players are looking, they're saying, well, they won about 38 games without me. I know I'm good for at least about 10, maybe 12. Automatically, you jump from a 38 to maybe, what, 48, 50 win team. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think we could all agree. If you got KD on your team, that's an extra 10 to 12 wins right there. Guaranteed.
True.
You know what I'm
saying?
If his foot is healthy. So you got to build it with the role players so that way when you bring in the stars come in to do what they do, which is put the ball in the hole. You know what I mean? We had, like I said, in the 90s, we had the right formula with surrounding Pat with blue-collar guys. We just never could get that second person to help him with the scoring load, man. I mean, we had Starks, but, you know, he was J.R. Smith before J.R. Smith, man. He was just streaky as all hell. You know what I mean? But the only difference was he played, you know, tight little defense, man. But, listen, this is a good start, and we just got to build from here. I think the most important thing is the development of those two young kids in the draft and then developing, you know, Clay Anthony and the Netflix, and you know what I mean? That's how we got to do it. I mean, we just saw how it works with the Warriors, man. The crux of that team was drastic, man. Curry and Thompson, first-round pick. Azili was the last pick of the first round. And then you had, you know, Draymond, and then, you know, you had the other kids in the second round. So, I mean, you know, the draft is where you build the foundation of your team, and then you use free agency and use trade to supplement around that. And I think that's what Philly's doing. And, you know, by saving the draft picks and everything else, too. And he's trying to build it from within.
Now, here's the thing that I can
I agree with what you're saying,
Asim, that, you know, the big guys weren't coming, you know, especially with the season we just had. But isn't that what Phil Jackson was supposed to supplement with? Wasn't his pep talk and his cachet, his presence and his resume supposed to kind of like, you know, supplement for the fact that the team has won only 17 games last season?
No,
I mean, that's,
I mean,
the reason, that's the reason we're paying the man $12 million. I mean, I'm sure you heard every other, you know, color analyst out there saying every president or general manager out there is making less than two. He's making six times as much, and you would think that a guy like him, who coached a great Michael Jordan, who coached Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, and Shaq, that with that resume, you should be able to say, come to New York. Implement the system that made these guys who they are, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to give you the max, or I'm going to give you this much money. You know, take a little bit now, get a little bit more later, and then and at least get this team rolling. Because that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I feel you on that, Ad, but at the same time, man, I mean, he ain't Jesus turning water into wine, and he ain't Moses parting the Red Sea. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, as much as people got respect for him, 17 wins is 17 wins, man. I mean, so let's be honest, man. With your job to two people, if that company that wanted you was in the red for like 7 or 8 consecutive quarters, and then you have another
I work there now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you have another opportunity to pay you the same amount or slightly more, and your company is working in the black, man, you got an expense account, all this other stuff. You're gonna be like, well, shit. I mean, I know people, I've been here a long time, but they offering me all this as a better package. Why would not go over that way? It's pretty much the same thing that's happening now. It's giving them a better chance to win right this minute. And for as much as people are killing the Knicks and Atlanta top main players, what if people want to start killing the Dallas Mavericks, bruh? They done chased Chris Bosh. They done chased Melo. They done chased Dwight Howard. They done chase DeAndre Jordan. They done chase so many dudes and have not landed not one of them. And they have a superstar player in Dirk, and they have a championship coach and Carlisle, who've been in this league as a player and coach for years, yet they get a pass. Why? Because they always seem to be in the playoffs, and just, as good as the superstar that they have, they always had those gritty role players around them to do what needs to be done. So, you know, they're always going to be a 45 to maybe 50, 51 win team. Like I've been saying and been tooting all offseason, I want something built like the Spurs, which is
all right. Let's go to Marlo real quick.
Hold on. Man.
All right, let's go to Marlo.
Well, you know, I just wanted to talk about this whole thing with, you know, the free agency just overall in Philly, you know, and I'm definitely on Asim, you know, speaking what he's saying. I mean, we gave Phil Jackson this money, I understand, but he can't just sprinkle Zendus and say, you know, come play with me. If he was still a coach, Knickerbocker Ab, then I could see guys saying, yeah, we're going to come play for you. But he's not coaching anymore. He is the president.
You're absolutely right.
And you know, if it was Coach Phil, then yeah, I could see that. I could see somebody saying, "Oh yeah, well you're coaching the team, so yeah, I'll come." But you know, I tweeted you guys earlier. Howard Beck had this great article, which is very true. There's a lot of factors that are against teams, not just the Knicks, just teams in general, and LeBron James effect, and the how the NBA salaries are going. It's better for the way the NBA is set up. It's better for a person to either to stay with their own team. They'll get more money, and they'll get extra. Because really, once you think about it, most of these guys, they stayed where they were. They didn't move. There was some movement, but very few. Look at DeAndre Jordan. What's going on right now? He's thinking about going back to the Clippers. And I'm thinking mostly because he could have that extra year and that extra money. So why would they leave? And the LeBron James effect is, LeBron wants to have a team that's almost ready. I'm that piece. I could be there and do it, you know. And since you know everyone keeps saying 50, 60 million times that he's the greatest player on the planet, everyone's going to follow. Because like they said, the NBA is a copycat league. That's why they're afraid too. With this DeAndre Jordan stuff, other people might start doing the same thing. But these guys right now are almost punks because they don't want to be in a rebuild situation. They want to be in a ready team. Because look at Eva Monroe. Okay, he goes to Milwaukee. You think Milwaukee's going to win the chip anytime soon, even with him? I mean, I don't know. They might, but I don't see them winning the championship. They're going to be better. But who knows? Nobody wants to take that challenge. Nobody wants to say, you know what, yeah, take me to New York. I want to slay that dragon with Melo. Nobody's saying that. They'd rather stay home and get that extra year and that extra money. Or they're going to go to a team that's already built. And, you know, another thing that was working against us, too, we weren't the only one with cap space this season. A lot of teams had cap space to pay these guys. So there's options out there. It's not like it was just the Knicks and bust. I mean, there's only but so much we can do. Now, again, what Phil is doing, what I like, he is throwing away all the Dolan stuff. So far, Dolan left him alone. Dolan probably would have thrown the whole cap at Greg Monroe just because he was a name. And then we would have been in worse shape. Because, again, you know, as you guys said, he's maybe a second, maybe third-tier guy, and you're going to give him max money. And even like someone like DeAndre Jordan, he's like you said, he's not even third-tier because the man can't shoot free throws. You can't have DeAndre Jordan playing the fourth. So I'm basically paying you max money to pay three quarters. Because in a crunch, I can't play you because you can't shoot. He's not worth it. And LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't care if it was the center or this, that, and the other. Because as far as what I heard, he said he didn't, you know, he didn't really want to come. He already decided he didn't want to come to the Knicks. So Phil was like, well, there's no sense of me coming out there to interview you. If you don't want to, you know, come here. You already made up your mind. But, you know, there's not these big game changers. Now, what Phil, as far as I'm seeing, is he had the cachet enough at least to get Dolan to leave him alone for now, and say that, you know what, let me try to do this. He got rid of a lot of the cap, a lot of the players that we all complained about for years. He got rid of them. And now we have the cap, and now he's building, like, at least role plays because he's trying to build a team here. You know, I'm not saying they're going to be in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to be in a championship. But the Knicks have got to slowly start to earn respect and not be a laughingstock. And I think with this group, they're going to start earning some respect. We crawled last season. Hopefully we'll walk this season. And next season, who knows, we could probably run. Because once the guys see, like Asim was saying, I agree with him, once we're respectable again and we're not a laughingstock and not everyone's making fun of us, then other free agents are going to be like, well, you know what, yeah, I think I see I can help them out. But that can't happen, you know, if we're just being crazy and wasting money. And also, a lot of these deals, they're short deals. Like, you know what, I forgot the other caller's name, and he was talking about Afalo. Well, Afalo has the second year as an option. So if anything, we have him for a year. He's more consistent than JR, and he's a pretty good defender. He's not Iman, but he's a pretty good defender. So, I mean, I'd rather have him than those two. So, I mean, they're not great moves, but with what we had, we have to work with this because, again, this is all about making a team and making them respectable so we can have something going forward. And I like seeing that this is a different approach from all the other stuff that the Knicks have been doing for the past few decades that we've been suffering through.
All right,
you guys make – you guys make all great points, but here's the part where I have to stress back to my point again, is that, yes, we struck out on all these big guys and we got all these quality role players, but here's the fact that people forget to realize. Carmelo Anthony is 31 years old. That means he's not getting any younger, and he's just and his cap money is just keeps on growing and growing and growing till he becomes a salary cap liability. So that's the first part. The second part is, we don't have a draft pick next year, so we have to win. There is no, you know, we can tank and hope for the lottery balls again. We don't have a draft pick next year. We also don't even control the fate of our draft pick the following year because they have an option to switch. So it's basically this team or we are bust. So if this team doesn't work and all these moves that Phil made don't pan out and they continue to trend the same way as the previous picks that moves that he's made, two things are going to happen: heads will roll, and Phil will be gone. And then we're going to start this whole bullshit nonsense all over again with a new president, with a new freaking schematic, with a new philosophy, with a new brand new team, and who knows what will happen. So I know a lot of people are happy about this, but this is the reason why I'm really concerned. Because if the Knicks don't make it happen this year and become respectable this year and become competitive this year, shit is going to be worse than ever. We're going to be back to the same old Scott Layden, Isaiah Thomas, James Dolan nonsense. And that's something that I'm pretty sure most of us are not willing to deal with again. We'll probably either stop watching basketball or start looking at other teams. I know most of us will say we'll never do it, but after 20 years of this kind of nonsense, eventually a person has their limit.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
sure,
good, man.
Go ahead.
So you keep talking about this free agent thing.
Right.
Tell me the last free agent in their prime that came to the Knicks through free agency, not by trade, through free agency.
You know what? I asked that same question. Hold on. Before anybody answered, Ev, I asked that same question last week, and Knicks fans couldn't even give me an answer. Somebody brought up Charles Smith. I started laughing. But go ahead, answer that question. That's a good question.
The question is what was the last Knick free agent to make an impact? Was that it?
The last free agent that came here in their prime and willingly chose to come to the Knicks. Not somebody old and brittle like Amari Stoudemire, not a second-tier guy like Allen Houston, a free agent in their prime who said, I'm going to the New York Knicks. It hasn't happened.
Exactly.
It hasn't
I asked that same question. Knicks fans got all over me about that. I said, Ed, I think you may have seen that when I asked that question. And you can't,
yeah,
there's no answer. There's no answer.
It's a trick question because there is no answer because you're absolutely right.
Exactly.
I was thinking, it's like, wait, hold on. Like, no, Willis was drafted. What was drafted? I'm like, Kiki was drafted and Pat was drafted. The last guy in their prime, I don't know, was Stephon Martin? No, he was a trade.
Can't,
shit, yeah, you're absolutely right. Nobody.
And that's my point.
Sprewell was a trade too.
Guys don't want to come here. And don't discount the media. The New York media and the fact that we are such rabid fans that if a guy doesn't come here and become literally Jesus Christ on a basketball court, we start ripping him apart. Guys don't want to come here. So the fact of the media is that's why we've overpaid for free agents for 40 years. That's why when Greg Monroe did, that's why for me personally, I don't have a problem with this offseason. That's why I don't, because I've watched the Kiki Vandeweghe's, Rolando Blackman's, Stephon Marbury's, the Stevie Francis's, the Tracy McGrady's, the Truck Robinson's, the Maurice Lucas's, the Amari Stoudemire's, the Sims. I've watched those guys come here and basically retire. Okay,
right.
They came in on my back. All of a sudden, they had a bad back. Okay, they signed a pen, picked up a check, and their back went out. We got finally a North season where we needed some bodies, and we signed some actual players. And again, I'm not a fan of football, but still in their prime and still capable of doing something. That is the success. It's not the guys we got. Let's be honest. The guys we got, okay. But the fact that we didn't overpay for a past his prime guy or overpay for a Greg Monroe, knowing damn well Greg Monroe is the final piece to no championship anywhere, no way,
absolutely,
no how. We didn't give him
absolutely
$20 million a year. Or, you understand what I'm saying? That's the success. It's
yes,
not
sir.
So much. That's the success. Honestly, God, that's the success, at least for me.
I agree with you. It is, but from my vantage point is that, yeah, we succeeded in not overpaying for players, but now if the players that we did get, if they don't gel, if they don't work out, if this team ends up being another 17, 20, 25-win season team and we miss the playoffs again, then what? Because we don't have a draft pick. We don't have a first-rounder or a second-rounder.
I don't even see them being 17 wins. I don't, honestly.
But let me ask you this, Knickerbocker. Even though we don't have a draft for next year, are you underconfident in Phil's ability to get draft picks out of thin air? It seems like the last two off seasons, going into the last two drafts where we didn't have any draft picks, or the first year, he came in.
Yeah,
we got two. We got two second rounders out of thin air.
Right, right. But remember how we ended up getting those draft picks.
We got them.
We traded. But we traded Tyson Chandler, who was still a valuable piece, and we used him to get rid of Raymond Felton. We ended up getting the second round picks because we traded Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, and then this one we ended up with Jerrion Grant because we traded Tim Hardaway Jr. Again, it was pieces that were valuable to other teams. Now you look at this Knicks squad. And aside from Carmelo Anthony, who do you see another team going and say, you know what, I want him, and I'll give you a draft pick for him?
Let's look at it like this. I have nothing against what you said. I'll put it like,
you're right,
like this. If things go as bad as they could, now, if things are bad, let's say going into the All-Star break, I know this is real early talking about this first week of July, but let's look at it like this. If things get real bad and we don't have no draft pick going into the draft and Melo wants to go to a winner, is he out? And if he's out, how do we get him out?
True. But then again, on the flip side, say Kevin Durant wants to get out of Oklahoma City and we really want him. How do we get him out of there and into here? Because that's another way you also look at it. Because if we're looking about moving Carmelo Anthony, well, Oklahoma City, they're going to be having this problem really soon.
Do you want to build for the future, or do you want the right away now star? Like, do you want the draft picks? Because you know you're going to get draft picks with, like, a Kevin Durant, or if you ship Melo, you know you're going to get draft picks. So, because you said that we're not having a draft pick next year. Well, if things bomb out, and you said Melo's up there in A, so you might as well go for the draft picks, or do you still want to build this thing? That's my question.
That's too much of a roll of a dice, because even with the draft picks, there's no guarantees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, everyone keeps talking about these draft picks like they're money. They're not money. You take just as much a chance with these draft picks. You know, we don't know when the next LeBron James is coming. You know, even Anthony Davis took him about a good 3 years before he was able to show what he can do. So, I mean, for us to say we don't have a draft, yeah, that's bad. I'm not saying it's good, but that doesn't guarantee us anything either, because if we have somebody who's good, we don't know how soon it'll be before he's even
able to make
it. Yeah,
but my whole point on that is, what if Melo says, yo, I want out? That's the whole point of getting draft picks, is if there's a situation when he says that, you know?
Ship him to Philadelphia. They got plenty. Ship him to Boston.
Yeah, I heard Uncle Boy is not happy.
Let's go back around. I'm going to get Chandler's thoughts, bring back on the Sim Marlowe, and then get into some trivia after Knickerbocker ass talk. But let's talk about, let's say, chemistry. The chemistry of these players, how they fit. Do they fit the triangle? Do they not fit the triangle? Do they fit as far as just basketball players? You got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at each position. How deep are we at right now as we look at early July? Let's go back to Chandler. How do you feel as the pieces fitting with the squad right now?
Well, if Fisher is willing to adapt the triangle, or the motion offense, which is really what it should be, to these guys, then this is a really good fit. See, I keep looking at the guys we have in Westchester. I know guys don't believe in him, but I'm telling you, the kid, Thanasis, is going to be good. I think he's going to be good this season. I think Clint Anthony early is going to get his feet under him, and I think he spent most of the season being actually a typical rookie, something we're not used to seeing, and that's why he struggled. I think he'll be much better now that he's got a season under his belt. I believe in Ricky Lito. I know how much talent that kid has, and it was always a matter of him just getting his head screwed on straight. I think the team we have is a good fit in pieces. We have scoring, we have defense, we have athleticism, we have length. If we take this triangle concept and adapt it to the team we have, I think it's a great fit. If they try to force these guys to be that strict triangle that they ran in Chicago, and last I checked, the only coach who's ever won with the triangle had guys named either Jordan, Kobe, or Shaq. No other coach has even finished 500 running the triangle. And that's a fact. No coach has ever finished 500 running a triangle that didn't have one of those guys. Then we're going to lose a lot of games no matter how these guys fit. But if Fisher is willing to adapt that system, if you look at the guys we got, I mean, we got guys who are going to hustle. We got guys who are going to rebound and bang. We can run the pick and roll. And the fact of the matter is, the only thing we're really lacking right now is one knockdown, drop-dead shooter. That's the only thing missing is the knockdown shooter. But other than that, I don't see a hole in this team when it comes to just from a purely basketball concept. I don't see a hole.
Okay, let's go back to Sim. Same question for you as far as the chemistry with all the pieces that right now for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta agree with a lot of what Chandler said, man. I mean, at the end of the day, it's gonna take chemistry, but we got pieces, man. It's just a matter of putting them together. I do think that we're gonna adapt the system because at the end of the year, we did see Fisher started running a lot more pick and roll, especially once Fred came on the team. He ran a lot of pick and roll. He got to the basket. He got fouls called. And, you know, we shot the penalty fairly early in quarter. So just the fact that he was able to tweak that and recognize that the level of talent that he had and that the full semblance of the triangle would not work and that maybe he needed to go to a little bit more pick and roll shows that he has the ability to adapt. And if he has the players, that he'd be willing to do it if need be.
All right. Let's go to Mr. Marlowe. Marlowe, what's up?
Well, I agree with a lot what Chandler says, you know, with this team. And also, they have youth on their side because these guys, some of these guys are not so much a follow, but most of them are like 25 and under. So that's another good thing that we have. We have guys who are athletic players and who also have youth, so they have upside. It's just, again, with Fisher, because we really don't know about Fisher's coaching ability because he had such a bad team. You know, he had basically a D-League team that he was throwing out there against professionals. So now, you know, not only is Phil going to try to earn his money, but Fish is going to have to earn his money too this season and try to get something out of these guys and try to mix it up a little bit. You can have the triangle as principal, but try to mix it up a little bit instead because there's certain things that you can do. And you have the players. And what's the best thing is that, you know, Melo's our main guy. And these guys here are going to help him with the dirty work, with the rebounding, with the blocking, with the putback shots, attacking the basket. You know, we didn't have that at all last season. So, you know, I just really feel that these young athletic guys and who want the challenge, because, I mean, I'm looking at Williams' tweets. He's, you know, he's happy to be here. Robin Lopez is happy. Quinn is happy. These guys are ready, you know. And me, as much as I would love a superstar to be next to Melo, I kind of want guys who want to be here, who want to try to fight this with Melo. You know, have some soldiers with them, have some dogs with them. And these guys seem like they're ready. And you know, I can appreciate that. So I'm just going to see how things are going to go with this.
Yeah, how you feel about the chemistry?
Well, if you're infusing all the guys that we picked up, Lopez, Aflalo, Williams, O'Quinn, Porzingis, Grant, infuse them with Melo, and then you infuse them with Galloway, Munson, Thomas, and maybe Alexei Shved and Ricky Lito. I mean, I'm still looking to see who's going to be the number two. I'm still looking for it because if anything, I would rather it be coming from the two guard spot. But it looks like it might even come from the one because Jerian Grant, I think, has the ability to create shots on his own. Up front, as long as these guys work on their footwork and maintain their spacing, the triangle is going to become a breeze to them, especially for Robin Lopez, because Robin Lopez's ability to shuffle inside and out is, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, if you see what he did in Portland with him and Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, he was able to go inside out a lot. And I me personally, on the Robin Lopez case, I think for the fact is that he's going to be in the same town with his brother, who's playing for the Brooklyn Nets. It's gonna, and now that he got this big contract, he's gonna be, you know, I think he's gonna be, you know, revitalized. I think he's gonna, you know, put up some decent numbers. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be a 20-10 guy. I'm thinking maybe like a 15-8 guy, and a block a game. And for me, that's all I need. I don't really need him to do much. 15-8, a block and maybe a couple assists. And hell, you know, he's making his money. I'm just curious to see who's the starting point guard is, because it's going to be a logjam with Galloway, with Calderon, with Grant, and who's going to be. I'm pretty sure that Aflalo is going to be the starting two. You're going to move Melo and keep him at three, and then whoever is going to be the four and five, because that's going to be, well, you know, Lopez will be the five. Who will be the four? Are you going to start Porzingis? Are you going to go with somebody different? We don't know, but I think the chemistry, it'll work, because you're fusing a lot of hard work ethic players from last year who are all dogs, who all busted their ass, and who all tried. I mean, they did try. They didn't succeed, but they tried. And you got guys who are coming from, you know, two guys from Portland, you know, who were in the playoffs last year, a guy from Orlando who's a hometown kid who was dying to come home, and a guy who played in Sacramento who won, you know, He really needed to change the scenery. So we'll see if all that hunger and desire mixed in with Melo's scoring ability and his, you know, his example on the floor will put together. Because Fisher, it's going to be interesting how Fisher puts it all together, because it's going to be on him. We can blame Phil all we want. I can blame Phil all I want, and trust me, I'm going to. But it's going to be on Fish, and we're going to see what happens, man.
Yeah, I had the same questions as far as the one and the four. I don't want Calderon starting. I don't want that.
Me neither. I'd rather Galloway.
I don't even know. Actually,
Galloway,
we'll see how this goes with the summer league. I'm actually rolling the dice with the rookie, Grant,
really?
More than I want.
So
Calderon.
Did I.
I want the slasher. I want the guy who's the ACC Player of the Year coming from Notre Dame running point. But it really doesn't matter if you run some sort of hybrid with the triangle. Like Chandler said, I think the motion offense kind of works better with this personnel, the skill set of what we have right now. Because the triangle, you need bigger players, more tall, linkier guys. And like he said, if you didn't have Kobe, Shaq, or Michael, or even Pippen, it really doesn't work unless you have that caliber of player. You need superstars, Hall of Famer type guys. to make this thing work. So I'd rather go with a different type of style offense. But I do have questions after. It's more at the four than the one. If I had to pick, even if Calderon did start or whatever, I'm not too down in the dumps with that, because at the end of the day, because if you're in a close game, it's not going to be in there anyway. It's going to be Galloway. I mean, you don't have to start to finish the game. That's just how it is. Galloway is going to finish games. He's going to be in it. He's been proven in clutch situations, i.e. the sixth game. You was at that game, Knickerbocker half. Yep. He's going to be in there. He's going to be that shooter. Or the Detroit game in that overtime, crazy game when he shot from like 30 feet. He forced that game into overtime. He's going to be in the game. I'd rather have him come off the bench. He's a more of a spark plug. He's a catalyst if off the bench. We need scoring off the bench. I'd rather have him on that role off the bench. The four is the major question. I don't know who I want at the four. For what the lineup right now, as we see, I think Porzingis is going to have to come off the bench early on.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
So it probably by default, what, Kyle O'Quinn? I mean, he probably welcomes the challenge. Why not? We may need somebody to get down there and do all the dirty work for Melo, right? So maybe that's pretty much what it is. A follow. I'm never really like Chandler said, I'm not really big on him, but if Damari Carroll is getting $15 million for Toronto, they could keep that.
Yeah,
I would rather go with the route we did based on what other guys were getting on the open market. I'm cool with that. So,
I mean, for crying out loud, dude.
All in all, it's not great, but it's not bad. But we're not overpaying for people. This is one of the few free agencies I can remember where we got a bunch of bodies at somewhat decent value without breaking the bank.
Yeah, the salary they gave out this off season was crazy.
I mean,
y'all were shaking your head. Shaking your head, like, really? They gave him that much money?
Elon Shepard got 40 freaking million.
Exactly.
Tyson Chandler got 90 million.
Thaddeus Young got 50 million.
I mean, come on.
Tyson Chandler
giving
got
out 60 money
million.
Like crazy. Yeah, Tyson Chandler got 50. He only plays defense.
They can keep that. Good for him. Keep that. You can keep that. We can keep that. Let's resume free agency talk. We'll probably get a little bit of Summer League stuff before we get off, but let's get into some trivia 2.0 stuff. I didn't make it this hard this week. We'll start with the callers on the line with Chandler, Sim, Marlo, Knickerbocker, Av. It's a two-part question, so if you get the first one right, on to part two. But let's do it like this. You know the rules. I read the question and try to get the answer right. And if you get it right, you're on. Not you're off. So I would hope for you, Bleed Blue, to get this right. No Google. And also, we're going to have about 5 minutes. We'll probably do this about 5 minutes. So we're making this a two-rounder. First one, get it right. On to the second round. So we'll start off with Chandler, Sim, Marlo, Knickerbocker, Av on for this week's 10 p.m. Trivia question, 2.0 version, Bleed Blue Show style. Here we go, 2.0. All right? I'm gonna read the question without the jingle. But anyway, since the great Red Holzman left the team, there has been a number of head coaches to take over in mid-season as interim coach. Can you name them all? Let's start off with Chandler. Go ahead, Chandler. You went far away?
Absolutely not. I can't name them all. There's too many.
Oh, he's not even going to take a crack at that. Okay.
I'm not even trying.
All right. Asim.
Yes, sir. All right, let me give it the whole college try. The most recent one we all know, Mike Woodson. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Lex
can't hear us,
then.
Okay, speak up a little bit.
All right, 1 second.
Yeah, I said I believe. Mike Woodson was is one. I believe Herb Williams is another one on several occasions. I believe Lenny Wilkins was also hired in the middle of the season. Steve, is this just strictly interim or like coaches who just been hired mid-season?
Interim.
Damn. All right. So I go with him, with Woodson, with Herb. Wow, man, I'm drawing a blank, bro. That was like, those are the only two I could really think of.
Wow, really?
I know I'm forgetting some obvious ones, but that's all I could think of right now.
Oh, man, you was on a roll, man. Let's go to Marlo.
Yeah, I'm like, without Sam, the most I remember is more recent is Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson and I think Stu Jackson. I think he was hired midseason, and I think he also made Isaiah Thomas coach midseason after the team was doing so bad. And and that's all I can think about right now.
The infamous Knickerbocker ad.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get them all, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get more than everybody right now. I'm going to go with Mike Woodson, Herb Williams, Lenny Wilkins, I believe Don Chaney, Jeff Van Gundy, John McLeod, and I'm just going to throw one out of the freaking blue. I'm going to throw in Willis Reed.
Damn, you was almost there, Nick. If I could have you, was almost there. You forgot one. You forgot one. Oh, man, that was great. We'll conclude the Knicks 2.0. I'll save the part two of the question for a future date, but shout-outs to Sim. Shout-outs to Knickerbocker Ave. Sim, he paved the way. He laid out the groundwork. Knickerbocker Ave was one short, and he may not have gotten this, but you said everybody right, Knickerbocker Ave. The one name you did not mention was Bob Hill in the mid-80s.
Son of a bitch! I was going to say him next! I wasn't so sure. I thought he was like, you was hired to be, oh, man, never mind.
Oh,
I'm just going to.
You was right there. You said everything basically in chronological order backwards. Yeah, I thought you was going to get it, man. I figured you was in the ballpark, man. I figured you was this was up your alley. So I know what type of questions to ask the certain Knicks fans, the stakeholders.
You know what it is, Bob? You know what it is? Bob Hill was a little bit before I really started
to get
heavy into the Knicks.
Yeah. All right, let's get back into this Knickerbocker talk on the Bleed Blue Show. Chandler, Sim, Marlon, Knickerbocker ad. Let's talk about this Summer League stuff. You got the Nassus, you got Klee Anthony Early. I'm looking forward to seeing Jerry and Grant and Galloway maybe a couple times in the same lineup, maybe with some Ricky Lito. Of course, Porzingis. What's your thoughts as far as, are you going to even watch the Summer League, Chandler? Is that your thing, or is it something you're going to pay attention to with the development with these young guys?
I normally don't watch Summer League because, to me, Summer League really only tells you whether a guy is willing to work hard and how much effort he's willing to put in, but I'll probably watch this one. Because I want to see how much the Nassus has developed. I want to see what Ricky Lito has done. And since I've been killing Phil Jackson for this draft pick, and you know, I was lusting after Justice Winslow, I want to see what this kid Porzingis looks like on the floor. I don't think it's an indicator of how they'll do in the league once the real games start, because we all know it's a whole lot of summer league all stars that don't even make rosters. But I think it would give us me an idea of what his skill set is, and if he actually even should have been drafted. But for me, it's Nassus and Lito are the two guys I'm looking forward to seeing the most, because those are the guys that I'm counting on this season to really help us win.
Okay, Mr. Sim, what's your thoughts? Are you going to be into this summer league? Oh, he dropped real quick. Let's go to Marlo. We'll bring him back on. Marlo, what about you? Your thoughts? Are you going to be watching the summer league? Any particular players, if you do watch, anybody you're going to be following real close?
Yeah, of course. Anything, especially with the Knicks-wise, I'm such a fan, I'm going to watch it. But I think the Knicks are really a strong chance in this summer league, because they're bringing back a lot of players who already played it last season, and like Ricky Lito and Langston Galloway, which I must admit I was a little bit surprised that he's going to be in the summer league. He's they're coming back, so they already had that experience from last time. So, and they played in the regular game, so I think the Knicks actually have an advantage going into this. And of course, I want to see how the new guys are. You know, Jaren Grant, I see flashes of it. KP, you know, I hope there's not still an issue with his hip, like they were saying before. But I want to see these new guys. And again, like what Chandler was saying, I really want to see Thanasis, because I've been wanting Thanasis, and I think he should be able to make the team this year. And I'm hoping that things work out, that he does, because he's another type of guy that I think the Knicks should start to utilize right now, because if we don't, we might lose him, and I don't want to lose him at all, you know, because I think his potential is really good. And also, Cle Anthony Early, he's got to step up. His rookie season, okay, we give him a pass on that, but he's got to really try to show that he can do more and show me some of that flashes like he did in Wichita State. And so, you know, there's a lot of ifs that's going into this, so I'm looking forward to see how some of these guys have evolved.
All right, let's bring back on Asim. Asim, as far as the summer league, are you going to be watching? If you're going to be watching, any players in particular you're going to be looking closely at?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching. Got to echo what Chandler said, man. I'm going to be looking at Ricky Lito to see has he improved his defense, and was he able to work on cutting down the turnover rate. And I'm looking for Thanasis too, man. The only thing that's going to stop Thanasis from making this team is if his jump shot has not improved in the slightest bit. But my whole thing is this. If Michael Carter Gilchrist can be on the NBA roster with that jump shot he got, there's no excuse why Thanasis can't be up with the Knicks. Because I know he's got to have a better jump shot than him, form-wise and everything. But I'd like to think that he would have improved on that. I mean, he did have a D-League game where he briefly held a record for most points in a game. And, I mean, shit, man, Craig Hodges was your assistant coach, and Allen Houston is the GM down there. You're talking about two of the most prolific shooters in the history of the league. If they can't assess your jump shot and tell you what's wrong with it and your mechanics, then, I mean, shit, you just might be a lost cause. So I definitely think that he's going to improve. If he shows anything of a semblance of a jump shot, then he's booked to be with the, you know, with the home club as the year starts. Very interested to see Porzingis. It's not the end all be all for me with summer league, because like Chandler said, there's a lot of summer league all stars that don't make rosters. I always said that my judgment for him and Green, for him and Grant, would be preseason, because you're going to get minutes against guys who are going to be on the NBA roster, you know, in preseason. So I have a better assessment of those two once we start playing preseason games and they get in the rotation and they're playing some minutes against starting caliber players and top-level reserves. But, yeah, that's it, man. That's all I'm looking for. I'm really looking to see what's going to happen with Lito and what's happening with the Nassus, because I definitely think what's happening with Lito is going to be a direct correlation to whether or not we bring Sped back or not. If Lito can improve his ball handling and his decision-making, I think that Sped role will go to him. If he struggles with that, I could see us possibly bringing Sped back to play that role.
Hey, Knickerbocker.
I'm definitely watching on this Saturday's game against the San Antonio Spurs. Guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing, it's going to be off. I'm mainly looking at the guards. I'm looking at all the guards on this summer league roster. That goes from Jimmy Barron to T.J. Bray. I'm looking at Langston Galloway and Jerian Grant. I want to see how they work. I'm going to definitely look at Ricky Lito and see how he does. And, yeah, I'm going to look at Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm kind of curious a little bit about Lewis Labory, the last second round draft pick we got last year. I know a lot of people are – I know you guys are really high on Thanasis, and you really – I don't know what this kid's gonna do, really. I don't have like these incredible high hopes for him. I'm just gonna wait and see. But I'm really just paying attention to the guards, because I think that's a key note of what we really need. We need strong backcourt guard play. going forward to make the team. So I'm looking at, of course, Jerry and Grant and Langston Galloway, see how those two work out. Since they're smaller guards and typically not in the type that that Phil Jackson usually goes for, but they're the guys who can knock down shots. They can create. Those are guys I want to see develop. I want to see guys like – I want to see what Ricky Leo can do. But it's mainly I'm looking at the guards, and, yes, I'm looking at Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. I'm looking at all those same guys too, Knickerbocker. You're right. It's all about the guards when it comes to this summer league in particular. I definitely want to see Galloway. No, not necessarily Galloway. Let me put that back. Grant. I know it's kind of like this is a glorified YMCA game. These are more like AAU specials. I actually like the summer league. It's kind of grown on me, like maybe the last 2 to 3 years. It's actually gotten better as far as the way they covered it. But as far as the Knicks players, this is definitely all about the guards. I think we pretty much know what we are when it comes to the big men for the most part. I don't know any dark horses as far as coming out of the summer league, whether it's going to be Ben Strong coming from the D League when he was playing with the Nassas. We already know he's a pest on D. Are you willing to roll a dice on a roster spot knowing that he could play perimeter defense but he can't shoot worth the lick? I mean, the Knicks need all the defense they can get. If you're going to have some sort of identity, or how do you go about building a roster as far as picking and choosing from the summer league tree? I think that's my question when it comes to looking at this. How many people from this the summer league is actually going to make a roster spot? I mean, if you have the answer, feel free to say it. We'll go back around to Chandler, Sim, Marlon, Knickerbocker. I have Chandler. But I also have another question, too, if you want to not only answer that question, but about Derek Williams. Like, what's his role? Is he a three? Is he a four? Is it in-betweener? Is he coming off the bench? Is there even a possible chance that Melo goes back down to a four and he plays a three or vice versa? How do you see the role with Derek Williams and also with the summer league roster getting anybody a spot?
I personally think Melo's going to play a four because I think at this stage of his career, and I think for the team, he works better playing the four. He's better in the post now. It's not as much wear and tear on his knees trying to guard threes. He can play in the post. He has a plethora of post moves. I like Melo at the four. I think Derek Williams, if he wants to put the time in and he is willing to do the work, Derek Williams is a three. And he is about two ticks below an elite three with the talent he has. That's how much talent that young man has. You know, he's put up 30 points in an NBA game. And you don't get to put up 30 points in an NBA game by accident. You got to have some talent to do it. I think Derek Williams can play the three. I think the Nassas can also play the two to the three, and I don't think he needs a jump shot because, you know, not for nothing, Bruce Bowen had his number retired by the San Antonio Spurs. Anybody who says that Bruce Bowen ever had a jump shot, you know, you ain't watched no basketball. There's been a lot of guys who couldn't shoot who you know, were able to do other things and were successful in this league. So I don't care if the Nassas can shoot or not because that's not why he's there. He's there to be athletic. He's there to get rebounds. He's there to get on the break. And he's there for his defense. I think that's why I put him on the roster because he's going to give me energy. He's going to play defense. He's going to create havoc. And if he – listen, his brother, what, has been in the league, what, 3 years now? Is just now developing a jump shot? Still been averaging double figures a game? You know, you can score without having a jump shot. But I think Derek Williams, if he comes here and he is fully invested, I think Derek Williams can be the starting three on this team, and it wouldn't even be a question. Anybody wouldn't even, no one would even question it if he's fully invested.
That's good. Let's go to the Sim. Your thoughts, answer to my questions, because I'm kind of neutral on it. But what's your thoughts? And as far as the summer league, how many roster spots do we have for the guys from the summer league? Melo, is he three? Is Derrick Williams, is he a three? Is he a four? How do you look at this?
I gotta agree, man. Chandler pretty much preaching gospel right about now to me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, Melo had his best season as a four. Play him as a four. Like Chandler said, if Derrick Williams
comes in with his head on straight and is focused and wants to, he could definitely be the starting three, and you have him and Melo at the three and the four, you know, with Lopez. And, you know, I got to agree, Thanasis can be up here now as a player. You know, shit, Bruce Bowen wasn't the best perimeter shooter when he first came into the league, but he played good on-ball defense. And eventually, through years, he developed that corner three and, you know, and that three-pointer right at the elbow where the corner and the wing meets. So, you know, in time, he can definitely improve that. But he can be a hustle guy, man, get his points off of, you know, loose balls and second-chance points and things of that nature. But you got to have a dude like that on the roster with his defense. Now, you know, we are not going to overreact to Summer League. But just watching that cat in Summer League last year, in every Summer League game that they had, that kid forced 1 8-second violation with somebody bringing the ball up over half court. Little stuff like that, man, you need a guy like that who's going to be in your chest and is going to make you work to bring the ball up court. You're not just lollygagging up the court. You know, get a court and you got about, you know, 20, 23, you know, you got about like 21, 20, 19 seconds. He's going to make you work for those whole 8 seconds to get it, you know, into the front court. And by the time you do that, you barely just getting into your offensive set. So, you know, like Chandler said, there's a role for him on a team like this. Outside of him, I don't see another D-League player making it unless they just have a super, super preseason. You know what I mean? But if there was going to be somebody that's going to make it, I would say it probably have to be maybe like Lewis Labry, you know, 6'11", can play forward and center. Because really, besides Lopez and O'Quinn, you know, we really don't have a third big man on the roster right now. So, you know, he could definitely be in the running for that third big man role unless they decide to bring back Cole Aldrich or something, you know. Which really, that's really the spot that he's good for as a third big man, an emergency big man. But he's the only other guy that I could see maybe cracking from the Summer League. But if Thanasis makes it, I'll just be satisfied with that.
And Marlo.
All right, well, before I say anything, I just want to give a big sigh of relief. Jeremy Lin tweeted that he's going to Charlotte, so good. He won't be with us. I didn't want Linsanity Part 2. I'm sorry. But anyway, yes, Chandler and Asim, I'm basically with both of you guys because I have been rooting for Thanasis because, you know, we need another Shumpert-type player. And me, it's like, you know, not only his energy, but his length and his athleticism. And I always said, okay, you're not going to stop LeBron. You're not going to stop KD. But, you know, bother them at least. You know, I want somebody on the Knicks who can at least bother these guys defensively, you know, who's going to make them work for their points. And I see he wants to prove himself. He doesn't want his little brother, you know, getting all the shine. So I'm rooting for him, and I've been rooting for him ever since, and I hope they actually give him the opportunity. Now, I must admit, I've been on the fence about Melo playing the four. But I see what Chandler and Asim is playing. You know, if Williams comes correct, that might be something that they can do. Because, you know, I was a little concerned about Melo more so defensively against fours. Because, you know, with them banging on him. But him and Williams, I think they're around the same height, right? So maybe they could switch off on offense and defense. I mean, you know, that might be something. I don't know. But that might be something to look into. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Galloway improves. And I'm just looking for so many of the guys who were on the roster before to see improvement to their game. And hopefully they could, you know, contribute to it. But I'm really hoping for Thanasis to make it because you just really need that defensive strong energy guy like he is, and you know, he wants to prove himself, and you know, the Knicks can't deny that. You know, they got to try to give these young guys some time. We got a bunch of young guys. Let's try to develop it and hone this, and who knows, we might have a diamond in the rough. We just don't know it.
give these guys a chance to see what they can do.
All right, Knickerbocker.
To answer your question, Steve, do I believe Carmelo Anthony should be the four? Absolutely. The fact of the matter is, yes, he did have his best year as a four. He won the NBA scoring title, if I remember correctly. As opposed to Derek Williams, he can play the three and he can play the four. I mean, him being 6'8", so he's the same height as Melo. He's got the same size as Melo. But also, he also has some – he can't score the ball. I mean, I'm looking at his stat sheet for the last month of the season. And I'm going to read it off to you, just the last four games, because Chandler's absolutely right. This guy has some talent. Against the Lakers, he scored 22 points and 6 rebounds. Against the Lakers again, 20 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. Then against Denver, he scored 13. Then against Oklahoma City, he scored 17. So obviously he can, in the last four games alone, and the numbers just keep on going down the road. Derek Williams does have scoring ability. He can definitely switch off with Melo on offense, defense. So you can put Derek Williams at the four on defense, and then when you kick the ball out to Melo, he's down at the four, and he's dominating the post just the way you want him to do it. Because, hell, that's exactly how they did it when Melo got won the scoring title anyway. So to answer your question, Derek Williams would be the three, Melo would be the four. Who the backups are, that's another story because you still need some scoring off the bench. Now I know we're talking a lot about Thanasis and his jump shot and his ability to score and his great athleticism. I don't know what I intend to see from him. I'm going in with a clean mind and open mind. I'm going into this with the fact is I don't know who Thanasis Antetokounmpo is. All I know is that his name is hard to pronounce and his little brother is over. His little brother is called the Greek Freak. And there's going to be a lot of letters on the back of that jersey. And so I'm not going in, thinking Thanasis has to make the team. I'm thinking it's who's going to make the team. He's got to show out for me. Yes, last summer league, he caused a number of 8-second violations. He was a terror on defense. And down in the D-League, hell, he won second team, all-defensive team. So there is some promise there. But I'm not going to just rest my morals on that. I'm just going to see if somebody beats him out. Oh, well. Then that's who's going to have to go.
I'm going to skip me. We're going to go back around. Let's get 30 seconds. Final thoughts from everybody. Quick 30 seconds. Chandler, Sim, Marlo, Knickerbocker. Quick 30 seconds. Your final thoughts.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. And today has been the funniest day ever. In the NBA history, because DeAndre Jordan is acting like this is the Boondocks and Mark Cuban is Yank Delicious. He ain't letting him in. So, this has been a funny day, man. Thanks you guys for having me on.
Oh, man. Nice anytime. Every time.
Hi, right, Chandler.
Thank you very much for joining the Bleed Blue Show. Let's go to Sim. Final thoughts.
Real yeah, quick, man. Please. Just excited to see what the young cat have in summer league. And then waiting for training camp or preseason and then to tip the season off for next year, hoping we all get to experience a better year than we did this past season.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sim. Let's go to Marl real quick.
Again, yeah, looking forward to the summer league and see what might happen. And I think the best thing that always happens is when the Knicks are under the radar is when they seem to do better. So let's just see what happens this season. And, thanks again to the Bleed Blue Show. I wish you guys were on about Knicks talks more often, but this is a great place for us to talk, and I appreciate it.
Oh, man, thank you very much for always joining us, man. And let's go to Knickerbocker. Av, final thoughts.
The show for the fans, by the fans. If you're not just a Knicks fan, the Yankees are on Saturday mornings, the Giants on Sunday afternoons, and then, of course, we're here, and I'm pretty sure the Rangers talk will be back soon, so stay tuned. iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn app, BleedBlueShow.com, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, we got it.
Man, Knickerbocker Ave is awesome, the infamous Knickerbocker Ave, Knickerbocker Ave, the source for the streets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All your New York Knicks talk goes through Knickerbocker Ave before it goes anywhere else.
Sir.
Thank you to Chandler. Thank you to Sim. Thank you to Marlo. Thank you to Knickerbocker Ave. Bleed Blue Show. Hey, tweet all your buddies. This is this is the best forum for the fans to hear guys like Chandler, real Knicks fans, like Kasim, like Marlon, like Knickerbocker, real Knicks fans having Knicks dialogue, real sports talk the way it should be. The Bleed Blue Show. Shout outs to all the guys. We'll be on back next Wednesday. More to discuss with the roster. But other than that, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue all day, every day.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you?